honoring veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler, brought to you by this local station and its sponsors, and presented everywhere, on the air and online, by Provident Payments, one of the fastest-growing payment consultants in America. Connect today at providentpayments.com.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, wrapping up a second episode now with the remarkable Dwayne Harvey, 97 years young and going strong in Albuquerque, New Mexico. By now, you know he served with the 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment in World War II, Headquarters Company 1st Battalion, to be specific. Well, I don't want to leave out anything that's important to you. I do have a couple more questions, but I don't want to forget to say thank you. Thank you for telling us this story. Thank you for serving our country. And I think we're all amazed at how sharp your memory is and how well you explain the things that you went through. I'm looking at your hat here. It's got that Screaming Eagle right on the front, and it said 101st Airborne on it. What does that mean to you? What does that represent? How do you feel about being a Screaming Eagle?
Well, I think of myself as being a 501st paratrooper. The 501st Regiment had regimental reunions for a good many years. My wife and I used to go to the reunions every year. So there was where I kept my connections, was with the 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment. When I first started going, the squad, there'd be a table, and there'd be a squad I was in. As the years went by, it dwelled down to where then the platoon occupied the table. Then it was a company occupying a table. Then a battalion occupying a table. Then it was down to where just the regiment. And then in 2016, I was the sole trooper there. Now, there are still troopers left at that time, and that was June the 6th and everything. And so some of the veterans had gone to Normandy, but that was the last one. So there was where that I picked up at one of there. But so I identify with the 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment, more than the 101st. And since it was always attached and not assigned.
You mentioned Normandy, and I know the you've been awarded medals from the governments of Belgium, of the Netherlands, most recently France gave you their Legion of Honor. Have you been back to those countries to see the difference that you and all your fellow paratroopers and fellow soldiers made?
I have traveled overseas a lot. Ireland, Wales, Scotland, England, Holland, Belgium, France, Germany, Austria, Italy, Turkey, Morocco, Spain, Portugal, Egypt, the old USSR, all of there, Finland, Russia, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, Georgia, all of them there, China, Australia. So I've traveled a lot overseas, but I never went back to any of those places.
The places where you fought.
That's right, fought. I've never had any real desire to go back.
Is that because you think it would be too difficult to be there again?
No, just of no desire. Okay. On the same way as places here in the United States. I've been by Fort Sill, but there wouldn't have been anything there. It was there that I'd recognize the city to say, well, I've been there. On you'd asked about my siblings.
Yeah.
Now, my brother is buried at Arlington. My sister's buried at Arlington. I have a nephew buried at Arlington. I have a brother-in-law buried there and on. So I have been to Arlington a number of times. Just recently there was a fellow here in the park. There's some organizations, you know, that sponsors a trip back to Arlington. He's a Vietnam veteran. But now, that was something very special to him, to go back there and see the memorials and the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier and all this. Well, I have no desire. I think go down and say, here, I'm eligible, and I'd pay my expense, all trip, everything back there. But I've been there. I've seen it.
Well, have you seen the National World War II Memorial?
Oh, yes.
At that memorial, you got 4,000 gold stars there, representing 400,000 of your contemporaries who didn't come home like you did. I know a lot of these questions I'm asking you, I'm assuming there's some feeling or emotion there that you just don't experience in some of those situations. But in that situation, looking at that wall of gold stars, was there something that reality stirred in you?
No, because that's what I expect. Yeah, there's people there that I know. I say I know that is in a foxhole, shell hit, cover them up. They're missing. Yeah, so there's those people. Well, that was just part of my experience in the war. And so these gold stars, there were these people that I saw. When we was in Alsace, the warm weather came, snow melted, and here uncovered all these bodies. Members of the 42nd Division who had been fighting the Germans there during the Alsace campaign, and snow covered them up, and there they are. They're carrying them out, laying them aside the road to be picked up. Been laying there all winter, flattened. Just part of my life. So, as you say, here's these stars. They're just representing these people.
How do you think those people need to be remembered all these years later?
I think they've been forgotten. So they can put something there. People go and they look. Well, they see, well, here's all these gold stars. It's a different thought to them, but I think they don't really, they're just gold stars. They're not a person.
Is there something you would prescribe or recommend that you think would ensure that they're not forgotten, that their sacrifice is not forgotten? Is there something we can do to recognize that?
No. You can say, that's World War II, but what about World War I? What about Spanish American? When I was in high school, when it come to Memorial Day, there was two gentlemen up on the stage, one of them in a gray uniform, one of them in a blue uniform, the father of both of them, their grandfather. But they're Civil War veterans to me. I knew Civil War veterans. But now, what does a Civil War veteran mean to you or anything? That's something just past history.
Well, you know, the reason I do this and other people do these kinds of things is that hopefully we won't forget, that we won't forget the price that was paid for our freedom. And you were part of that price because you endured 3 years in the Army in World War II. If there's anything else you want to add, please feel free. But there is one other question that I'm very interested in the answer to, because you've been on this planet for 97 and a half years now, and people can hear how full of life you are. Is there something, when you think back over all those years, that you would say personally you're most proud of?
Well, I have pride in my life. So I'm proud of my life.
Is there something you'd say you're most thankful for?
That I've lived to be 97 years old. And I realized that if I go down to, like Walmart, they had benches setting up by the checkout stands, and I see these people walk by. I feel very fortunate that I can get up off that bench and walk out. And when I see them in wheelchairs, using canes and on, and obviously much younger than I am,
What's your secret? What do you think explains the kind of shape you're in?
Well, I get up in the morning, and I'm going to have an excellent day. So I have an excellent day. The other thing is that I hear people, they start talking old, they start acting old, and they get old. Now, I go to coffee, I hear them talking as I say to myself, and I listen to the stories, and their stories are different than what I would remember them. And I can say, you're thinking wrong.
Well, you've been very generous with your time, sir. Thanks so much. Is there anything I didn't ask you about that you think we ought to know?
Oh, we could probably talk forever, but...
Well, here's one more. Is there anything that you haven't done or experienced in 97-plus years that you're still looking forward to?
Well, I've traveled a lot. There's a lot of places that I haven't traveled that I know I'll never see. They're all over the world. They're in the United States, in Albuquerque. I know that there's these places I'll never see. I would like to see all those places. I read a lot. I see something. Now, you know the Moldau River? Smetana wrote the Moldau, and that's a musical piece. Well, I got on the computer. I read about the Moldau River, but I know I'm never going to see it. But I would like to see it. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe I've got an inquisitive mind.
I guess so.
I see in the Ukraine and the fighting going on there and about Kiev. And I heard about the Great Gate of Kiev. So I got a book, whatnot, and I looked, just read about the Great Gate of Kiev. And run across the fellow that had just come back from Kiev. This is a number of years ago. I asked him about the Great Gate of Kiev. And that I didn't know that much about it, but I knew that it was there. Well, it had never been built. So that's when I got up to read about the Great Gate of Kiev, and then had to listen to Mussorgsky's musical version of it.
Well, we can all listen to just a few bars of that as we bring this fascinating conversation to a close. And maybe the whole saga of the Great Gate of Kiev is something you feel like researching yourself. You can follow the lead of this 97-year-old whose inquisitive mind and desire to learn are as strong as ever. Don't forget, if you missed the first part of our interview with Mr. Harvey, you can access that episode online at hometownheroesradio.com. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Paul Leffler, hoping you can join us again next time when we'll be reminded once more through the stories of our veterans that freedom is not free.
To let Paul know about a veteran in your life, visit hometownheroesradio.com and click on Suggest a Veteran. Today's program has been brought to you by Provident Payments. Give your business the edge only their personalized service can deliver at providentpayments.com.